This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. I suppose it would be stereotyping to think that aspiring singers in Ireland would have to belt out a version of Oh Danny Boy to get the job, but that's exactly what Anthony Kearns did while he was working in sales. He decided to try out for the radio program Ireland's Search for a Tenor, and for his audition, he sang that song over the phone. And then he hitchhiked across Ireland, and he won the whole competition. And today, Anthony Kearns is a founding member of the group The Irish Tenors, and they're going to be performing at the Carolina Theater in Durham tonight at 8 o'clock. But first, Anthony Kearns joins us now. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you, Frank. Pleasure to join you.
So tell us about this decision to enter the contest and singing it over the phone, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I was used to entering competitions. I think it's good schooling for young singers or whatever you're aspire to do in the entertainment business, but it was yet another competition and another way for me to be introduced to the right people. And this one had a bit of muscle behind it. It had a national radio station, so that was a big help. And it was for tenors, so it's something I hadn't tried before, the tenor singing. So I said I'd give it a shot and picked out a good old Irish song.
Really? That was your first crack at a tenor? Because I had read that you had entered other contests and were successful in some, but this was your first shot at being a tenor, huh?
Well, yeah. I really didn't know what it entailed to be a tenor, to be honest. I was young. I was green. I was inexperienced, and I had no formal training, so all of those things. I knew what I needed. I needed to be pointed. I knew I had the basic raw instrument, but I just needed somebody to grab a hold of me, like the racehorse, the wild racehorse that needs to be broken and shown how to run.
Well, so what does it mean to be a tenor?
Well, a lot of fine singers are around the world. People have, you know, a good natural high voice. A voice to be a tenor, I suppose, to be a natural tenor, is to be able to sit up, sing over a high passage of the voice with some ease, and that's what it boils down to. If you can't get up there with ease, then it's hard work, you know. Then you have, you know, you really have to dig deep. But I mean, I had a natural ease to hit notes, high notes. So it just needed a bit of shaping and molding.
Well, I wanted to hear that from a professional because ease is something we notice, hitting the high notes. But also, there are moments in that song that require great power and ease and the high notes. And so all of that, I think, is a wonderful tension that tenors bring.
Absolutely. And people think that Danny Boy is an old song that you just throw out. You hand that to any singer, it'll put them to the pin of their collar because it requires a clean line. It requires a legato, as they call it. A clean line. It requires stamina. It requires leaps and jumps that you don't want to stand off the page, but they have to be done with such ease. And that's what tests
well,
a singer, you know?
Well, I want to get a sample right now. And what we do is we'll take a song from your newest CD, with a song in my heart. Let's listen to this song.
La donna è mobile, qual piuma il vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero, sempre una amabile leggiadro viso, in pianto e in riso, e menzognero. La donna è mobile, qual piuma il vento, muta d'accento e di pensier. E di pensier. Sempre misero chi le sa fida, chi le confida, mal cauto al cuore, ormai non sentesi felice e pieno, chi su quel seno non li va amore. La donna è mobile, qual piuma il vento, muta d'accento. Pensier, e di pensier,
La Donna Mobile from the Anthony Kearns newest CD with a song in my heart. Anthony Kearns and the Irish Tenor is going to be at the Carolina Theater tonight, and he is talking with me today on the state of things. La Donna Mobile, of course, a famous old Irish song, a beautiful song. So tell us about founding the Irish Tenors. When did you decide to do that?
Well, we got together in 1998. It was on the back of the success with the Three Tenors, to be honest. The Three Tenors had opened the door to Pavarotti, Domingo, Carreras. That was huge. And it brought awareness to the tenor voice, but also from Ireland, and we had Riverdance, which was a huge affair. And that, of course, put Ireland back on the map. And from that then came talent after talent and show after show. But the Irish Tenors were luckily the next one out of the trap, so to speak. And with our partners in PBS, we had great success, and that's when PBS were a force to be reckoned with, when they were a strong unit across the nation.
Well, I can imagine, you know, you mentioned Riverdance. I thought, well, if you ever collaborated with Riverdance, you know, and became like Lord of the Tenors, you could actually replace Big Bird. You would be the number one sensation on people. You'd be all we see.
You want two sets of lungs, though, because you never be able to dance and sing at the same time.
That's true. Well, you're not moving your upper body and that stuff. What are you doing with your... That's what you should be doing, is singing, as long as you're not moving your arms.
That's right.
I'm just saying. What do you think accounts for the popularity of all of these Irish traditions, particularly among American audiences?
Well, there is, of course, it helps to have a database of people. There's 40 million of Irish extraction throughout the United States, apparently. And that's a good starting point. And there's this longing for a homeland that some might have not have seen, but they would have heard it from their grandparents or their parents. And the song, the Irish music, is an island that has suffered. And it captured that in their poetry, in their song, in their writings. And then it's visually, it's not bad to look at Ireland. Ireland is a lovely country to visit. The greenery, the waters, the mountains, it's very picturesque. So all of that combined, and of course, big thanks to Hollywood, who would have really put that on the screen in their movies, The Quiet Man, for example, musicals like Finian and the Rainbow, and they paint a picture of an island of Ireland that probably is no longer there since the boom with construction, but nonetheless, it's a lovely picture.
No, but you talked about the struggle that Ireland has been through, the many, many struggles, and I think of a beautiful song called Grace that talks about an Irish patriot about to be put to death and having to sing to his lover and say goodbye. And it is a beautiful song filled with tension and kind of bitter irony. That's the stuff of, and again, I hate to stereotype, but that is the stuff of great music and great art, isn't it?
Without a doubt. And I mean, that's not too long ago. Excuse me, that's 1916, you know, Patrick Pearse was executed in Kilmainham jail. So you're not talking too far back, you know.
Right.
And 1 hour before his execution, he married his beloved, Grace Gifford. So, I mean, it's a love story, if ever there was one. And it's a tragic one and a poignant one. And the music is so well written.
You were a guest of the Kennedy family at the historic Eternal Flame ceremony, and I know you're friends of the Kennedys. What was the importance of that event? What did it mean to you?
Well, coming from the county Wexford myself, on the east coast of Ireland, where the Kennedys originated, they came from Dungannstown outside New Ross, and I'm from Kilteely, which is about 16 miles apart. But it was just nice to be invited to perform in Arlington Cemetery for such a wonderful occasion to commemorate and to remember John F. Kennedy and the lighting of the torch, carrying that flame back to his homestead in New Ross, and the eternal flame being lit there. So it was a nice moment for the Irish people and for the American people. He was a beacon of light, so it's ironic that the flame was carried back. He was a beacon of light to many Irish people around the world.
Kennedy family still important in Ireland?
I think so, yes. At one point, the joke was that if you went into the house in Ireland, that you had the picture of the Pope on one side and John F. Kennedy on the other, and I'm not sure who was more important. But
well, now you could just be reading Time magazine and have a picture of the Pope on your coffee table. Who knows?
That's right. So, yeah.
Tell us about, you also did a performance on Ellis Island, and apparently this was the first performance by a musical group on Ellis Island that we know of?
That's right. With a lot of, it didn't come with great ease. We had a great difficulty getting on Ellis Island down to the last minute with unions and whatnot and weather permitting. I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, but thankfully, we managed to get onto the island. We managed to do the show. We had a wonderful crowd, and we captured a great PBS special. And Martin Sheen, the actor, was our host, and we had a wonderful arrangement, a wonderful orchestra. And it was an evening to remember. And I suppose the highlight song of that was a song by Brendan Graham, and that was Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears. Brendan would be known, of course, for You Raise Me Up, which is a huge hit that Josh Groban would have had for Brendan Graham. And so that was our great moment on Ellis Island. That was back, I think, 2002.
Well, you know, and that was a PBS performance, and of course, you've been an important feature and a presence on public television. You also appeared on the Mike Huckabee Show, right?
That's right. I've made a couple of appearances with Mike. He's been a good supporter of mine over the years. Excuse me. Yeah, he's a good guy, Mike. I've been on the show on Fox. Well, on television a couple of times with him and on the radio.
Well, in keeping with the holiday spirit, we actually have a recording of one of your appearances on the Mike Huckabee Show. Let's hear it. Anthony Kearns, founder of the Irish Tenors. Irish Tenors will be at the Carolina Theater in Durham tonight on the show with me now. You know, I think the story, the Anthony Kearns story, will be from Big Bird to Huckabee. I just like the sound of that. is there a repertoire? I mean, are there sort of a body? Is there a body of music that is really best suited for tenors?
I suppose the classical music. I mean, a lot of great Irish tunes penned by Tom Moore and would have been great for the Irish, for the voice. But a lot of the classic music is more suited, I think. You know, stuff that requires, as I say, a good line, a good sing, good old sing, good ballads are good for the tenor.
So can you give us a preview of some of what you might be doing tonight?
Oh, Lord. What are we doing tonight? Well, our program is mixed. We start our Christmas program with Irish songs, funnily enough, in the first half. Then we build into the spiritual music towards the end of the first half. And then all of the second half then would be Christmas fair, upbeats and all your favourites and toe-tapping stuff for the audience.
Yeah.
Fairy Tale of New York. There's an Irish theme running through it as well, of course.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to your visit. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks very much, Frank. Pleasure.
Anthony Kearns, a vocalist and a member of the Irish Tenors, who will be at the Carolina Theater in Durham tonight at 8 o'clock. You can always visit our website, stateofthings.org, for more information. And thanks for listening to our program. The State of Things is produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Wynn. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is the news director. And this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.